Wrestling show. I am your host, Extremeness, and I'm being joined by the Dark Menace and Degrees. How you guys doing?
Great.
Yeah, I'm alright. Cool.
It's Halloween today, people.
Yes, it is October 31st, Halloween. And we have this special Halloween edition of the 7X Wrestling Roundtable discussion. We're just going to talk about some interesting things that happened this week, and we will start with the group Immortal and TNA, and they could be possibly breaking up, as you've seen on Thursday's Impact, where we had some dissension that was shown between Douglas Williams and AJ Styles, and also Matt Morgan turning face. Dark Menace, what is your thoughts on this subject?
I think it's bullshit. First of all, why form this faction if you're going to break them up quickly? And the fact that Hulk Hogan was the mastermind behind this whole group, and now he's not being shown on TV, what the fuck? Why form this group if you're not going to have the leader or the mastermind be shown on TV? You know, Hulk Hogan hasn't been making any appearances on TV, on TNA as of late, or anything like that. And, you know, they let the full control be on Eric Bischoff now. Well, Eric Bischoff is creating more problems for the group, you know, kayfabe-wise, because we saw him have a discussion with, who was it? I forgot, but he had a discussion with someone this past week on Impact, and, you know, they ended up disagreeing with each other, so I just think it's dumb, all right? This whole thing is dumb, and they're wasting TNA's young talent for no reason, because the fact that they added in Fortune to this group was pathetic, because they could be doing something else with Fortune instead of having them be Hulk Hogan's slaves, because that's exactly how they're being treated right now. They're being treated as Hulk Hogan's slaves. They're wasting their time in this fucking group when they can be putting on awesome wrestling matches every week, when they can be in the main event right now. But no, TNA wants to be dumb. They keep these idiots in the fucking group. You know, they team them up with guys like Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan, Eric Bischoff, old fuckers like that, when they can be going out there doing their own thing. So I just think the whole thing is stupid. And if they do break up, not only will I be happy, but at the same time, I'm just going to laugh at TNA stupidity, because they put together this whole group for nothing just so they can break up. And remember, after all the months, after all the hype of Abyss, you know, saying they are coming, and for they to just be destroyed this quickly is just pathetic and laughable. So,
all right, Degrees, your thoughts on the subject.
Okay, the funny thing is, when we don't need to see Hogan, he's always there in our face. And now when we actually need to see him, which he actually has importance in the group, in this situation, he's not there now. We don't see him. That's my problem. The group-wise, I think TNA seems to fail to realize what happened last year with the whole main event mafia and frontline storyline. It became a clusterfuck. Way too much guys. No one being on their own. I don't like groups. I don't like this giant-sized faction where you've got two groups. I think these guys need to not be in a group and be on their own now, stand in their own 2 feet, because these guys can do it. What I didn't mind was Ric Flair and just AJ Styles being on their own. Ric Flair be his manager and AJ be with him. He doesn't need this whole group. Other people could do their own thing. Kazarian could go for the X Division title. You know, Douglas could have been still defending his global title at the time. It this whole group doesn't really need to happen. I think they should. They shouldn't stop it completely. It should have never started in the first place. But since they got it now, I just don't think it should break up so fast. Just make it last for the rest of this year. But I just don't particularly like this faction whatsoever, especially when they're in charge by all these old guys, you know, anyway.
And like you said, you know, AJ Styles can be doing his own thing right now, putting on A-plus wrestling matches, but that's not what Hulk Hogan or anyone who's in charge of TNA, that's not what they have in mind for him right now. And I think it's stupid. And the fact that they buried and made Matt Morgan look like shit on Impact this week was just disgraceful, because Matt Morgan is great. You know, the guy is great in the ring. He's great for his size and for, you know, the whole faction to go out there and just jump Matt Morgan like that. That was pretty sad to see.
Yeah, they've done this for a while, though. They keep burying Matt Morgan for a while now, so there's no real big difference there. I mean, how the hell are they going to let some guy like... Who beat him the other day? Some small guy. I forgot his name.
Brian Kendrick?
Yeah, that's it. They let him beat him. So clean, too.
I know. Like, you know. I remember that. I mean, it was not even believable. That's how...
Exactly. It's not even like the Rey Mysterio crap where he's taking down these, you know...
It was worse than that. You're right.
Exactly. Exactly. It was worse than that.
Brian Kendrick didn't even do anything. He looked like a joke in that ring when he was taking on Matt Morgan. That was just, oh my God.
Exactly. It's just so poor. I hated absolutely everything about that. And another quick mention about another guy who seems to be missing. What the hell happened to Hernandez?
Oh, that's right. You know, Extremeness has said that Hernandez has been working down in AAA with Mexico and shit.
Yeah, that is correct. TNA sent Hernandez down to Mexico to the AAA promotion because TNA and AAA have a talent exchange going on. So they sent Hernandez down there months ago, and he's been... the goal of it was for him to get over with the Mexican crowd.
Yeah. Yeah,
and Hernandez is great, too. He's great, too, Hernandez.
Yeah, I'm going to say that he did a pretty decent thing by putting him over there. I kind of do agree with this. You know, make him be popular over in Mexico, and by the time he comes back to America, he should be having nice crowds back in Mexico and a decent crowd here, too. So I think I'm going to have to agree with them on there. Although I don't really agree with TNA with most of the stuff they've done, especially this year in particular.
Well, as far as my thoughts on this goes, I mean, I didn't agree with the faction being formed in the first place and having Fortune join the one night later, because, I mean, okay, what was the purpose of throwing them in there? You had Hogan, Jarrett, Bischoff, Hardy, and Abyss. And then you throw a Fortune in there. And it's supposed to create this super faction. So, okay, why should guys like AJ Styles, Douglas Williams, Kazarian, Beer Money play second fiddle to Hulk Hogan and Eric Bischoff? It's not right. They're being treated more like lackeys than anything.
And besides, Ric Flair worked his ass off in forming this group and making them look good, for them to be thrown in there with Hulk Hogan and Jeff Hardy and trash like that, you know?
Yeah, great. It's a joke, isn't it? So,
I just hope this whole thing comes down to an end quickly. I hope Fortune beats the shit out of, you know, they. I just hope they kick Jeff Hardy's ass. Because that's what I think is going to happen. I think that Fortune is going to betray them. I think they're just going to knock them all down, attack them, and destroy them. That's what I think will happen. And that's how I think Fortune will save TNA, or how TNA can be saved.
Yeah, that would actually be good.
And it'll be a good way to put them over, too, because they're the future of TNA.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right, that'll bring us into the next roundtable discussion. It was Triple H making his WWE return at the WWE Appreciation Day yesterday. He was in a match against Alberto Del Rio, and this was basically a squash. Triple H pedigrees Del Rio, gets the victory, and afterwards he pedigreed Del Rio's announcer, Ricardo Rodriguez. And later on in the night, we had a World Heavyweight title match between Kane and John Cena. I don't know why the fuck that was even thrown in there, because Cena's a Raw superstar. But anyways, Cena had Kane in the STF, and the Nexus came in, and they were beating on Cena. And then Triple H leads the entire WWE roster down the ring, and they destroy the Nexus. And also, Triple H got some revenge on Sheamus by pedigreeing him. Your guys' thoughts on this subject?
Well, first of all, I've been saying this all day. How in the hell are they going to have Triple H return at a non-TV show, but not on TV? I mean, that's basically giving away a spoiler right there, you know, and they even put up the picture, or they even put up footage of Triple H returning at that live event on WWE.com. So why would they do that? Why would they do that? Because the WWE fans are going to be mad now. The WWE fans wanted to see Triple H return at a TV show, not at a live event that was not shown on TV. That's basically giving away the spoiler. Now people are going to go to WWE.com. They're going to see Triple H's face. They're going to see what his conditions are at the moment. They're going to see what he looks like. They're going to see his face, and that's not what they wanted to see. The only thing they wanted to see was for Triple H to return in TV so they can get shocked. Now when Triple H returns, we're not going to be shocked because we already know how he is. We already know he returned once. And this is what I hate about WWE, because when Triple H does return, they're going to act like that fan appreciation day thing never happened. They're going to act like they never put up pictures of Triple H returning at that event when they know that they did put up those pictures. That's what they're going to do. When Triple H returns at a pay-per-view event, or when he turns at Raw or something like that, they're going to be like, oh, Triple H returns after a 10-month absence. What a shock. Bullshit. He already returned earlier this year, and there's proof of that. We're going to look for that proof so WWE can shit themselves when they see it. So that's what I think. The whole thing is dumb, and I understand they did it just for Linda's fucking campaign so they could make their fans happy, so they could please their fans at the last minute to get them to vote for Linda's campaign. That's the only reason why they had Triple H show up at that damn event thing, to please the fans, to kiss their asses, just so they can keep voting for Linda's campaign and keep standing up for the WWE. That's the only reason they did that, and I think it's bullshit because they didn't have to have Triple H return in order for them to do that. I mean, can't they accomplish that? Can't they make their fans happy in another way instead of having Triple H return? Did it really take Triple H for them to return, for him to return, in order for them to make the fans happy?
That's true. Well, you know, it's nice to see Triple H coming back and doing what he does best, very in talent. With that said, all seriousness though, I am happy to see Triple H back, although it would have been better if it was a better, you know, better shock wise on TV or something. It would have been a lot cooler to see. The fan appreciation, they done what it meant to do for the fans. You had Cena going for the belt. You know, it was to make the fans, or some of the fans there, happy, because, you know, you can't have no appreciation with Cena without having at least a title shot. So they've done their job there, making the fans happy. But again, I have to agree with DN, because the Triple H coming back, it would have been so much better if it was on a live pay-per-view. You would have heard more people go cheering up, cheering and all that. and it would have been a lot more fun to see. But again, I'm happy if he's back or not. You know, I'm happy to see Triple H back. I found a lot of respect for him growing up. Of course, you know, hating him as a heel when I was younger. I've always liked Triple H because I've always respected him because he was my favorite heel. I loved to hate him when I was younger. As a face, he's okay, but he's still awesome, and I do like the guy. So, nice to see him back, although it would have been better to see him come back on the pay-per-view or the odd Raw episode. It would have even been a bigger shock. But, you know, so WWE don't do shocks anymore. People always complaining about spoilers, but, you know, when you're not shocking people, it's understandable. You're giving away the thing anyway. Why don't you shock people for one? You know? Anyway. What do I have to say about that issue?
And I think the reason for Triple H and the Triple H and the Del Rio match being a squash match was because Triple H is not 100% yet. He's not 100% recovered to be in a wrestling ring, so they had to have it be a squash match since Triple H is not fully recovered. You know, he probably can't wrestle still, or he's still fixing himself up. That's my prediction. That's what I think.
Why don't they give him Zack Ryder?
Good point
just
there. But you know, this is what I don't even know what to say about that. But it's not going to affect El Rio though, because they're it's not going to stop the momentum at all, since it wasn't shown on TV.
It's not on TV. I'm just joking about that. You know.
Yeah.
I'm joking about that. But, yeah, it's not going to mess up his momentum. Alberto's still there, so no problem with him.
But, yeah, as for Triple H returning and wrestling Del Rio, I think it was nothing more than a squash match. And Triple H didn't do anything special in the ring. I mean, he even had his shirt on. You know, you never see Triple H wrestling with his shirt on. So that's how you know that he's not ready to be in the ring yet. And he's still going to be taking some time off. I mean, the only reason why he was there was for that whole fan appreciation day shit. So.
Yeah. They could have brought someone else back. I don't know who to think of, but, you know. He won't going to wrestle again, but I don't know. Bringing Shawn back, at least just that one time, maybe. I know he can't wrestle again, but, you know, bringing him back, a lot of fans will be happy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And as for the whole Cena and Nexus thing, they totally broke kayfabe with that. I mean, I understand it's a house show. I understand it's a non-TV show, and you want to put on a good show to make the fans happy so they can leave the arena happy. But you don't need to break kayfabe to put on a good show. That's basically trashing your own storyline. Cena's not supposed to be attitude adjusting Wade Barrett when he's a part of Nexus. He has to follow the orders of Wade Barrett, no matter if it's on-screen TV or off-screen TV. WWE wrestlers must stick to their storylines and kayfabe.
It's like a DVD or something. It's like, let's say a filler episode for like an anime or something where the rules doesn't mean anything. It doesn't make no sense. It's just a filler episode. That's what I kind of see Fan Appreciation Day as, nothing but a filler episode, as in nothing. It's not canon with the storyline. It's nothing to do with it. That's what I think of it personally.
But what was I going to say? Oh, and WWE is very strict about this rule. They are the first ones who complain and make a big deal about wrestlers and their kayfabe characters. You know, they always want their wrestlers to not break kayfabe. They always want them to be in character. And hell, Twitter is proof of that. They were complaining earlier this year about their wrestlers kind of breaking kayfabe on Twitter and how they wanted them to strictly tweet as their on-screen characters. But yet, Cena is allowed to break kayfabe by betraying Wade Barrett and attitude adjusting him? Really? But yet he can't break kayfabe on Twitter, and these other wrestlers can't break kayfabe on Twitter? WWE are hypocrites about that. I mean, Fuck.
Again, I still feel like it's a filler episode. You know, it's not meant to make sense. It's like it didn't mean to make sense. It's just something to give the fans the odds, you know, oh, we're all happy. I don't think it really means anything. Well,
but here's the thing, though. But here's the thing.
They got rid of Serena for that.
They put the pictures up on WWE.com. If it was just a filler show, then they wouldn't be putting up those pictures on WWE.com because they have a picture of John Cena FUing Wade Barrett on WWE.com. Why would they put that on WWE.com when all the fans who did not attend that event, they can simply go to that website and see that Cena broke kayfabe at a non-live show event or a non-TV show event? I mean, if they didn't put up those pictures on WWE.com, it would have not been a big issue. But since they put those pictures up, you know, people might start realizing what the hell is going on, and they're going to be confused about this whole thing. That's my opinion, though.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe to keep the Cena fans happy, the kids anyway.
Well, what are X's thoughts on this?
As far as Triple H's return goes, what the fuck, WWE? Seriously, you just killed all excitement anyone had for him returning in the future. So when he does come back, we're not going to be shocked or surprised that he does come back. So we're just going to be like, oh, Triple H is back. Yeah. I mean, yeah, they just killed all the excitement for his return just by having him come back for this Appreciation Day shit. And also putting up pictures of his return on WWE.com. Secondly, with the whole John Cena Nexus thing, number one rule in this business is that you don't break kayfabe. What do they do here? They have John Cena hit the AA on Wade Barrett when he's supposed to be a part of the Nexus and taking orders from Barrett. But I understand Degrees' point about this being kind of like a show where, you know, I mean, they disregard the storylines and they just put on a show for the fans. But still, they put up the photos of all the photos from this event on WWE.com. So everyone's going to see this shit, okay?
Exactly.
Everyone's going to see this shit.
And that's a point I tried to make. I mean, everyone's going to see this. Usually, they don't put up pictures of WWE live events that were not seen on TV. They don't put pictures up of that on WWE.com, but they did for this event, which makes me go, what the fuck, because why would they do that when they know that Cena broke kayfabe there? So, again,
I did agree with both of your points with that, so yeah, I do understand that. Yeah, that's a fair point.
And speaking of Cena and the Nexus, that brings us into our next topic of discussion. Fucking Cottonmouth. Anyways, let's talk about the John Cena Nexus and Randy Orton program heading into Survivor Series. We know you have the WWE Championship match between Barrett and Orton, and John Cena is the referee. Now, John Cena has to make sure that Wade Barrett does win the title, or... And if Barrett does win, then Cena can be resolved of all his obligations for the Nexus. And if Barrett loses, however, then Cena's going to be fired. Your guys' thoughts on the program to this point?
I'll let the Grease go first.
Okay. Well, the program coming up to this, you know, you've guys heard me a couple of times ranting about Cena and that. The program has actually been up and down, in my opinion. Sometimes the whole program with this Nexus thing coming up to this point has been, it's been top class, and then other times it's just been so poor, really bad. I mean, Nexus has this sort of disease which John Cena and Randy Orton suffer from. What this is, this ability to fuck up a pay-per-view, and that is what Nexus does certain times. I just hope they don't mess up this pay-per-view like they messed up last. The match-wise, Cena is going to find a way to make Randy Orton win. I don't know how, but Cena is going to find some sort of way to make Barrett lose and still get a job. I don't know how, but I don't know. There's a way. What I do think is going to happen at the end of it, though, Miz is cashing in. I don't care. I think Miz is cashing in. I don't want to talk about this so much because I'm going to rant about Orton and I'm going to rant about Cena. What I'm going to say is Miz is cashing in.
Well, here's what I think will happen. At the Survivor Series main event match between Wade Barrett and Randy Orton with John Cena as a special guest referee, I think Cena is going to find a way, like DeGree said, he's going to find a way to have Randy Orton win the match, and he's going to stay face. However, this will not lead to John Cena getting fired, because here's what I think will happen the next night on Raw. John Cena is going to come out. He's going to find a way to, you know, bait Nexus into letting him stay in the group. He's gonna say, oh, I thought you guys wanted me here. Now you want to fire me? I thought you guys needed me. You know, what if I really want to help Nexus now? Or what if I really want to be a bad guy just like you guys, you know? Or what if I want to be against everybody else and be with you guys? He's going to find a way to stay in the WWE by baiting Nexus and you know, telling them these stuff that's going to get into their head. I don't think Nexus is going to fire him at all. I don't think, you know, that's not going to happen. WWE's not going to have John Cena be fired if he has Randy Orton win. That's not going to happen. So, you know, if Randy Orton does win, Cena's going to find a way to stay in Nexus. He's going to find a way to not be fired. And here's the interesting thing about it. John Cena finding a way to stay in the WWE and be with Nexus, I think that will lead to a Nexus heel turn for him. That's what I think. He's going to say, oh, all right, guys, I'm really going to help you. You know, at the beginning, Nexus is not going to trust him about that. But then, you know, towards the end, in a few weeks, John Cena is going to start getting used to them. He's going to start really helping them, and Nexus is going to start gaining his trust. And as soon as Nexus gains his trust, you're going to see a full John Cena heel turn. That's what I think is going to happen. After Survivor Series, John Cena is going to tell the Nexus as a face that he will sincerely help them, and he will not be forced to do anything anymore because he's going to fully want to do it. But, you know, Nexus is not going to be trusted. I mean, Nexus is not going to trust him because, you know, they're still iffy about him. And then after weeks, Cena fully turns heel. Wouldn't that be epic? Wouldn't that be awesome?
DM, excuse me for a few seconds while I pray for that to happen. Dear Lord. But seriously, though. As far as my thoughts on the whole thing, it seems to me that the thing that will probably happen here is that Cena will probably end up, you know, helping Barrett become WWE champion, and, you know, and then Cena's going to start going against the Nexus. But what DM said, I really hope that happens. Having John Cena go full-blown heel and be a part of the Nexus would be awesome in my book. It would be something finally new for this guy. He's been the same character for too long. He needs to change, and this would be the perfect opportunity for him to do so.
And they don't need to have him. They don't need to have him turn heel by having Wade Barrett win at Survivor Series. They can simply go with my scenario, and have John Cena screw over Wade Barrett at Survivor Series, but yet somehow he'll still be a part of Nexus, and he'll still be able to be in Nexus and be a heel with them.
Yeah, I like that idea better. I like that one idea a lot better.
It's like he's tricking the fans.
It's just so they go along with it, no?
Yeah. But, oh yeah, and I forgot to talk about this. This past week on Monday, you know, Wade Barrett said that he was not going to tell us the reason as to why Nexus did what they did to The Undertaker at the Bragging Rights pay-per-view, because he said it's none of our business, quite frankly. Well, I think the reason why Wade Barrett isn't telling us is because, you know, someone else told him not to say anything about it, because there's another mastermind in the Nexus. And I think that mastermind, the real mastermind, was the one who told Wade Barrett and the Nexus to bury the Undertaker. So I don't think Wade Barrett is the leader. Well, he is the leader of Nexus right now, but he's taking orders from someone else.
Do you know who that person is? Justin
no.
Gabriel. Yeah, that guy's the leader. He's the quiet one, and he's going to be the leader of them.
But as for who I think would be the suspects, I would either say John Cena or Triple H. Now, I say John Cena because then again, he could be acting like this. You know, this could all be an act that can lead to a John Cena heel turn at the end, and he ended up being the whole mastermind behind this whole shit. Or it can just simply be Triple H. They have him return, and he joins the Nexus. Boom, like that. That's what I think.
How about someone else? How about, I don't know, another legend or something? A legend that we haven't seen in years.
Oh, The Rock? That's not going to happen.
I'm not necessarily saying The Rock. It could be. Oh, I actually think he's the GM personally, but I think he was going to be the GM, but I think schedule-wise was the problem why he weren't the GM. I think, you know, his filmmaking-wise is the problem why he wasn't the GM. I actually think he was going to be.
Now, I don't know if you guys have seen the Survivor Series Wade Barrett promo, but if you haven't, please YouTube it because it is an awesome Survivor Series promo.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Excellent promo from there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just makes me want to tune into Survivor Series because I really think shit is gonna go down at that pay per view now.
I'm gonna have to really hope more on the matches because I can't just go along with this Cena match. I can't really go on the main events alone. Something in the mid card or the tag team, even maybe the Divas. I'm gonna have to convince them to buy it. Not the main event. Ildo seeing Edge win the world title for the 10th time would be cool. Kane should keep that title for a long time.
Alright, and now bring us into the next topic of discussion. Bill Goldberg has been talking some shit as of late about the whole Undertaker-Brock Lesnar situation. I mean, as you guys know, it's been all over the dirt sheets and whatnot, but, a UFC confrontation between Brock Lesnar and The Undertaker, as did everybody talking, it's been a big hit all over YouTube and the sheets, like I mentioned, and Goldberg commented on the situation on Twitter, and he said the confrontation was weak, in his opinion. And he was asked whether or not he would like to face Brock Lesnar again. He said he would do it in a second. And as far as The Undertaker, he said he would do it in a New York minute. And, of course, he went to go on and say that he found Edge's version of the spear to be weak. But, anyways, your guys' thoughts on Goldberg's comments?
I think Goldberg needs to shut the fuck up. That's what he needs to do. He's always talking shit about Edge's spear, about how all of these wrestlers have taken that move from him. Well, first of all, it isn't even Goldberg's move, all right? Anyone can do a spear. So, as far as, you know, the Edge spear thing goes, I think he executes it perfectly. You know, it doesn't have to look strong, but he still does it good. And that's all that matters. He delivers the move perfectly. I mean, I understand it doesn't look powerful as Goldberg did it, but he still executes it perfectly. It's not like he botches the move or anything, unlike Batista, who did botch it. So that's my thoughts on that. But as for the whole commenting on Taker and, you know, Brock Lesnar, I think Taker would fucking beat the shit out of Goldberg. And I hope that does happen one of these days because Goldberg needs to shut up. He's always talking about fucking random shit. And he's not even in wrestling anymore. He shouldn't be talking about wrestlers when he himself is retired. So, what the hell, you know?
Goldberg. I think Goldberg forgot to learn something when he had a fight with Jericho, and that he forgot to shut the hell up, literally, because the guy, he always talks. I mean, the guy, he was never really great, in my opinion. You know, I never thought anything great. Do you know what? I actually like Edge's spare more than Goldberg's. I like the whole crazy eyes, how Edge goes, and he's going crazy, going for their spare. I actually like his version of the spare better. Heck, I like Bobby Lashley's version of the spare better than Goldberg's. That's just my opinion on Goldberg. And, when it comes to spares, this whole Brock, he's talking about Brock Lesnar. Do you guys really want to see Brock Lesnar against Goldberg again? You guys know how much that sucked. You guys know how much that sucked. The last WrestleMania, those two guys fighted. Undertaker, on the other hand, yeah, maybe interesting a bit more. But again, you know, Goldberg just needs to go away. Don't talk about wrestling. Talk about wrestling, but just don't bash people. Just don't bash people. Just keep your mouth shut. Because he actually messed up someone's career, you know, watching a move. The guy just needs to go away for a long time and not talk about wrestling again.
And earlier you mentioned the fact that Jericho kicked Goldberg's ass. William Regal kicked Goldberg's ass as well back in WCW. You know, they had a legit backstage fight, and William Regal fucking beat the shit out of Goldberg. So he's gotten his ass kicked twice.
Yeah, well, Regal's understandable. And so Jericho is my... Because he actually is a great technical wrestler, and all. Jericho, you know, he's my favorite wrestler. But I'm shocked that he kicked the shit out of Goldberg. That just shocked. I know he's got an MMA background a bit. I know Jericho's got a background, but dude, Jericho fucking him up.
And he's small.
Exactly. That's bad. Who else looks like they could beat him, you know? You know where people say, you know, how, you know, wrestling script and all that crap? How can guys like Ray beat? When you got Goldberg there, if you put Ray against Goldberg, I might actually put my money on Ray, even if it's a legit fight. I don't care. This guy seems this guy doesn't seem that strong to me. This guy really doesn't seem as great as he really is to me. No disrespect to Goldberg.
And Goldberg getting your ass kicked twice and still running your mouth, yeah, that's not a smart thing to do. I mean, you're just making a fool out of yourself now, unless you're asking for another beatdown.
Exactly. So, I mean, you know, if Jericho and Regal could fuck him up, in a legit fight, does he really want to talk about Undertaker?
Yeah, Undertaker is the last person you want to mess with.
Exactly, and Brock too. I mean, you know, damn, I don't know. I think he was the one who got kicked in his head. It wasn't Bret Hart. I think he actually kicked himself in the head a couple of times, because this guy really isn't legit all up there. I don't know.
All right.
Thanks. You got any thoughts on this?
As far as my thoughts go on the Goldberg's comments, he needs to shut the fuck up. Okay, he would say he would face Lesnar in a minute, and then Undertaker in a New York minute. Motherfucker, they would destroy you. Dude, Lesnar would fuck you up, dude. Your face, God, man. I swear, both your eyes would be swollen shut, and you have a broken fucking nose and jaw if you want to fight Lesnar, because he would fucking destroy you. And as far as Undertaker goes, dude, I bet Undertaker could kick your ass. Still. But seriously, Goldberg needs to shut the fuck up. He's always talking shit. He just annoys the fuck out of me. He needs to go away.
He needs to put a cock in his mouth.
Yeah,
he said it wasn't when he said.
Yeah, he needs to put a dick in his mouth and fucking choke.
Just shut the fuck up. You got your ass kicked twice, so why are you still running your mouth, you idiot?
Goldberg, just shut the fuck up. Alright, anyways, we have the WWE announced later this week that we had the King of the Ring tournament returning on the 11th of next month, I believe. I mean, I got that date wrong. It's November 29th in Philadelphia where they're having the King of the Ring tournament coming back to Raw, and that's a three-hour edition. Your guys' thoughts on the King of the Ring returning?
It's a great idea. It's a great concept, and I'm glad they're doing this. But what I'm mad about is that it's not returning as a pay-per-view. It's returning as a one-night thing. And you know that WWE always fucks up things when they only last one night, because they're obviously gonna rush this whole thing. They're gonna rush through it. We're gonna see a couple of squash matches. Oh, I guarantee you, there's gonna be lots of squash matches in this tournament because it's gonna be last one night only, and they're not gonna be able to have each match, you know, have full time. That's the only upsetting part. But as far as it returning, you know, it's great. And I'm actually interested as to who might win, because there's a lot of possibilities. You know, it would be great for Daniel Bryan to win. It would be great for Alberto Del Rio to win. It would be great for Sheamus to win or someone like that. There's a lot of good possibilities for the King of the Ring tournament.
Okay. I'm really excited for this, because King of the Ring is actually the first pay-per-view I could actually remember watching. King of the Ring 1998, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, that's the first pay-per-view I actually remember watching. I'm so excited for this. But I have to agree with Menace. I hate 3 hours. 3 hours is not good. What I think they should have done is make it... I know SmackDown's pre-recorded and all that, but couldn't they do it in two nights, maybe? One on Raw, the next night on SmackDown. I don't know, even finish it off on Raw, then the next week, and then like make the last match, the finals, be the main event of the Raw the coming week. Because like Menace said, there's going to be a lot of squash matches. And prepare to see guys like Santino job in pretty fast. Zack Ryder's going to be jobbing fast too, because I got so obvious. I just hope to God that a main eventer doesn't win this. And if I wouldn't mind Swagger winning. Swagger's probably the most sensible bet to go on and say who's going to win, because Swagger really needs to get back into the main event picture, because he's gone nowhere recently. Nice, you know, he's got that eagle with him and gave him a bit more of a personality, but he's going nowhere recently. I mean, me personally, the guy who I want to win is Kofi, but I'm not putting no bets on Kofi winning this. And I just think a main event is going to win this.
King Kofi.
A main event might win this. And that's not a good thing. As far as I'm concerned, any mid-carder who's not a main eventer winning this, I'm happy with, other than The Miz. Because if that guy wins, you know, you guys know who's going crazy. You guys know who's going to go crazy if The Miz wins. Like, I don't, you know, I'm a fan of The Miz, but again, if he wins, I'm gonna be pissed as much as the other guy's going to be pissed. But, you know, Kofi for the win. Please, I'm begging you, God, Kofi.
And with Regal, you know, there's been that talk about Regal re-signing to the WWE, and his new contract will expire in 2014. Now that they have re-signed Regal, I think they're going to do something special with him. And the way they can start doing something special with him is inserting him into this King of the Ring tournament. I mean, after all, he was the former King of the Ring, so why not add him into this tournament and try and have him win again? Wouldn't that be sweet? You know, you need Regal there.
Exactly. I mean, the guy still comes out to being, you know, King of the Ring 2008. He still comes out with that, you know.
Yeah.
Being announced. So, yeah.
And plus, he can deliver... good wrestling matches for them, so...
Exactly. You know, I wouldn't mind Regal winning either, too, you know? Any mid-carder apart from The Miz, And it could be anyone, even Drew, who I'm not really a big fan of, but I do like him. I just hate his fangirls. You know who you are. Yeah, you know, any mid-carder other than the Miz, I'm okay with it.
And you mentioned the fact that Swagger has to get going, too. Well, I think Sheamus needs to get going, too, and I think him winning King of the Ring would be good, too. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Sheamus, too, because that Santino job, that was bad.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Yeah. I don't care what happened in the match. That was so bad, making him job. This is a former champion, two-time WWE champion, and you're going to let him job to Santino, the guy who you guys made a joke for the last, 3 years? So poor, so poor.
Right.
All right. As far as my thoughts go on the return of the King of the Ring tournament, I think it's great. But like Mena said, you know, this needs to come back to pay-per-view, man. I was a big fan of the King of the Ring during the Attitude Era. And it'd be sweet to have a return to pay-per-view, but, you know, you get what you get. But, so Mick Carter should definitely win this tournament. It needs to elevate somebody. And for the life of me, please do not have someone like Randy Orton win it. For fuck's sake.
Hell no.
Oh, God. I actually ripped that on the forums. I said, Randy Orton's going to win it so he can feed his...
No, we will not mention Randy Orton again, or I will kill him.
But it would seriously be a shame if they had someone like Orton win it. But anyways, I would like to see the following few people here win this thing. Daniel Bryan, Sheamus, John Morrison, or Kofi Kingston. I think all those guys would be good choices as to winning the King of the Ring tournament. Even CM Punk, provided he's healthy.
I actually think the people that you just mentioned, I think they're gonna actually be in the King of the Ring tournament.
I think they're going. I think all four of them at the max might be quarterfinals. I think two of those guys probably would be in the semifinals.
Yeah. Like, maybe in the semifinals, we'll have Daniel Bryan versus John Morrison.
I would love for all four of those guys to be in the semifinals. I would love for it, but it's obviously going to be a mid-carder somewhere there. I'm sorry, a main event somewhere there. Somewhere there. I'm not sure who, but maybe Ray. Ray might actually be in a mix. Ray might actually be in a mix somewhere. He might not win, but he might be in a mix somewhere.
I would think it'd be great if they were to keep all main eventers out of this fucking thing and just have all partners in it.
Here's the thing about King of the Ring that I've always noticed. It's always been looked at as a tournament for legit wrestlers, for, you know, wrestlers who are underrated and they never get pushes. That's exactly what this tournament is about. You know, you've had guys like Steve Austin, William Regal, Booker T, and people like that winning.
Ken Shamrock.
Ken
Shamrock.
Right.
Legit guys.
So the King of the Ring tournament is one of the few prestigious tournaments that WWE holds because they have talented wrestlers take place in this. You know, it's a chance for them to step it up and, you know, do what they're best at doing, and that's put on good wrestling matches.
Yeah.
And that's what King of the Ring should be about. Whoever can wrestle the best, because that's what the whole definition of King of the Ring is, in my opinion.
Yeah, then Daniel Bryan for sure should win it then.
Yeah. But, you see, that's why I think Daniel Bryan will not win it, just because he's a United States champion. And I think it would be a way major push for him to be both King of the Ring and United States champion.
Oh, yeah,
but then again,
they
would probably do that. I wouldn't be surprised if they did.
Yeah, even though I would like to see Daniel Bryan win it, I think maybe this push might be a bit too fast for him, you know, even though he does actually deserve it. yeah, this push would be way too fast for him. Just a little look into a certain guy who might have a chance of winning it, even though I don't hate him. I just hate his fangirls, even how good-looking some of them may be. Drew McIntyre. There's a look in that guy might actually have a small chance of winning this thing. He is the chosen one. He might get the push what he maybe should have had at one point in his career. Yes, he's been pushed a bit too much. Some people overrate him. A lot of people underrate him. But there's a look in for Drew McIntyre to be somewhere up there.
The chosen one, King Drew McIntyre.
Exactly. That's my thoughts. I think Drew might be somewhere close up there and might have a chance.
Well, I could see him qualifying for the tournament. But as for winning it, I don't know. Maybe. We'll see.
I just hope there's a giant shock. I just hope there's this massive shock and you're thinking, oh, I would have never thought that guy would win. But not no shock as in a disappointing shock, you know? Something, you know, that would shock you, you know, really good shock.
Yeah.
Because I'm kind of sick with disappointing shocks. Like, you know, Royal Rumble 2008, where John Cena came.
And you know, I was surprised when I heard some boos, because at that time, John Cena was over as a face. Everybody liked him. But when he returned, you know, Madison Square Garden went off the roof. They were cheering him and they were booing him. It was crazy.
Exactly. I mean, I think the boos came around, you know, I think 2007 when he actually beat Randy Orton. I thought that was the point where I actually got sick, because I was a big Orton fan back then. 07 SummerSlam. I think Orton should have got that title then. SummerSlam would have been his pay-per-view. That would have been his pay-per-view, because he won it three years ago when he beat Chris Benoit. You know, that would have been his pay-per-view at the time.
Yeah.
It could have been his pay-per-view this year too. That could have been his moment again. That's why I didn't like that. Now, that was my problem with that, but again.
And I'm glad we didn't have to talk about Randy Orton in this podcast.
Yeah, well, not that much, yeah.
Oh, and X, do you think we should reveal the news about the TNA Anonymous Twitter account?
Should we?
Yeah, they've, you know, the tweets, the messages.
All right. If you're not on Twitter or you don't follow such social networking, period, there for months now, there's been this guy on Twitter. He's been under this account called, you know, TNA Anonymous. And he claims that he is a TNA wrestler that has been frustrated with management. He was making some tweets months ago saying that things need to change in TNA and all kinds of stuff, you know, like telling Dixie that things need to change and this and that. Well, we apparently the account got hacked and we didn't hear from this guy for several months. But then this week, I think this week, he made his return to Twitter, and, you know, he was explaining his absence, saying why he's been gone, he got hacked, and all this kinds of stuff. Well, he's been making some tweets lately that he wants to change TNA for the better. And he said his contract did expire in October, so he says. But he's working in TNA on a week-by-week basis. And also, he revealed yesterday, I believe, that he was offered a head trainer job at a wrestling school, and he said that he has nothing left to lose. So at this point, it doesn't matter to him whether or not he loses his job in TNA. And What was that, Degrees?
You sure that weren't Matt Hardy?
But, yeah, just peening on this guy has been making these series of tweets. And, I mean, I'm not sure what to make of it, though. I mean, there's been speculation that he might be just some random fan, you know, trying to mess with TNA, or it could actually be a guy in the company or something. But yeah, I mean, this guy is really speaking for us here in the IWC, and he's been taking it to TNA and saying that things need to change. They need to change the things that that they're doing wrong right now. He's blaming Dixie. He's blaming Vince Russo. And apparently he's been saying to Jeremy Borash, like, you know what, you know, tell me what goes on in the meetings and stuff, you know? But, yeah. But, 7X, we, narrowed down this list of people that could be TNA Anonymous, and we've come to the following names. Let me pull this up here. We think at this point it got to be AJ Styles, Eric Young, James Storm, Kazarian, Robert Roode, Samoa Joe, or Sting. Now, then again, we've compiled this list of possibilities due to how they've been used on TV and why they would be upset. I mean, I could see AJ Styles being upset about this whole Hogan and Bischoff regime because, you know, I mean, he really represents what the original TNA was. And I could see him being upset about, you know, with the X Division not being featured at all on TNA and how the originals are being shoved to the side for these ex-WWE guys. Eric Young, you know, he has not been used on TV recently, or at all, really. James Storm and Robert Roode, you know, they're TNA originals as well. You know, same cause as AJ Styles. Kazarian, same reasons as AJ and Beer Money. Samoa Joe, you know, TNA, he's been added with TNA management. He's been suspended due to some blow up that happened between him and Vince Russo months ago. And Sting, I mean, just I could see Sting being the rebellious one here and taking it to Dixie the way this TNA Anonymous guy has. But anyways, your guys' thoughts on this whole TNA Anonymous Twitter stuff?
Well,
yeah.
I don't even know what to think right now, but for whoever it is, thank you for speaking the truth. That's all I can say right now. And as far as, I think it's a TNA original, obviously. It's not anybody from EV 2.0 or anything like that. It's either a TNA original or a veteran to the wrestling business. Not just a veteran in TNA, but a veteran to wrestling in general.
I think I know who it is. Hamada.
What the fuck?
What the hell, Degree?
Yeah. Why her?
I don't know, man. You know, she ain't been used. No, I mean, all seriousness. I think you guys missing out a guy. Do you know Lethal? Lethal.
What about Suicide?
Isn't Suicide Kazarian? Yeah, Suicide's Kazarian, right?
I don't know. There's been so many people playing as Suicide.
Yeah,
I'm going to go with Lethal. I actually think it's Lethal. I really do. I think, especially after that whole jobbing thing the other day, I mean, jobbing to what? That guy? Who is he? Who the hell is
Robbie
E? Yeah, what the hell?
Robbie E from Thor? Oh, fuck him. He's a goddamn loser. I hate him.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
oh, they had him job. Oh, hell no. That was awful.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, I've heard the whole TNA review. I've heard the way you was pissed off, and I agreed with you, X. That was a slap in the face to the X division. Serious. That was just piss poor. I couldn't even believe that happened. Why couldn't he go up against, you know, weaker guys, you know? Not the champion, but, you know, guys lesser than the champion. But I actually believe it as lethal. I really do believe it's lethal. I think it's lethal. I really do. I mean, yeah, he wins the X division and they give him all the, you know, the confetti and stuff. But I really do think it's lethal. And plus, Lethal should have got the push instead of Anderson as far as I'm concerned. Lethal's been there longer. I don't care how Mike skills-wise, yeah, Anderson's good and all, but I think Lethal's just as good if he's given a chance. They want to TNA. They want to push the WWE guys. They've done this to themselves. They've destroyed themselves. They brought in Bischoff. But when, and Hogan, when did they start anyway? When was this whole January the 4th, yeah?
Yeah, January 4th.
Yeah, that is the day when TNA died. Ladies and gentlemen, what you're watching right now is not TNA. And what you're watching right now is not the year 2010. Right now, what you're watching is WCW, and this is the year 2000, because in the year 2011, TNA would be dead. And that's coming from my mouth. You've heard it first. The Grease has said it first. TNA would be dead in 2011.
What we're watching is a shit show. That's what we're watching. But anyway, what's that guy from Shore? What's his name?
Robbie.
Yeah, he can go fuck himself. He can go shower himself with lighter fluid, then light a match.
Yeah, you know what? I was going to say he could go fuck his bird, but I just realized that was a positive. You know? I mean, at least his girl's hot, right? That's a plus, right? His missus is hot. I mean, she doesn't look as good as... What's this whole Jersey Shore shit anyway?
Oh, we're not going to get into that. Fuck them.
No, because I'm going a 30-minute rant about it and how I think it sucks and it's stupid and it's...
And this podcast is already as long as it is, so we're not going to get into that fucking short thing. They don't even deserve to be talked about.
Exactly.
I'm just going to say that Snooki bird, wow.
Babe.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
She's got some big titties, but still, fuck. She's annoying.
Brooke Adams.
Oh, did you? Oh, Brooke Adams.
All right, and I think I'm done here because I'm going to go watch some Brooke Adams. You know, yeah. So I'll go talk to you guys
later. Yeah, that stuff. Well, anyways, guys, that'll do it for the Wrestling Roundtable discussion. I'm Extremeness. I'm signing off. Stay Simply 7.